Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia on this second day of August 2012. My name's Hereward Fenton and I'm honoured to be speaking to you today. Wherever you may be, I hope that we're able to stimulate you and provide some interesting insights. We've been going through the latest climate change scandals. They're sort of endless, really. You know, Climate Gate, as we know from a couple of years ago, really was just a taste of what is going on with the cover-ups and the manipulations and the distortions of science in the service of political and corporate power, and of course banking cartels being very much a part of that. But of course it goes further. The concepts embodied in the climate change agenda and the demonization of carbon is actually indicative of a really deep and really sinister trend towards what is sometimes called eco-fascism. It is really about a suppression of the individual, and it can lead, and I believe there is strong indications that those behind it would take it in a direction that could lead to quite gross violations of human rights and mass extermination. And, you know, people will say, oh, you're exaggerating, you're being ridiculous. No, this happens all the time in human history. You go back again and again, this type of thing has happened in human history. We seem to have a mental block in being able to recognize it when it's happening. What's your take on that, George?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't realize the level of entrenchment of some of these situations. Certainly, there's a direct line into the international banking industry. Now, with the climate change situation, it's not a recent thought or since Al Gore had hit the road. This has been going back for 10, 12 years at least. It's been well established. And certainly in 2004, the retail banks in a lot of the countries, which are fairly low down on the international banking scale, we're operating with environmental departments and with carbon trading scheme departments. And this is fairly entrenched. There's acronyms in place. It's a very specialized side of a market trading that will be introduced. I've been involved with market trading in past years, but this one, and the established protocols, you establish the language, the mechanism of it within certain areas, and they're all specialised areas. And certainly this area of trading these carbon deposits is very well entrenched and put in place. From what I've seen, it's a 2004 at least. And the retail banks in Australia, certainly if you look down, say, for example, the ANZ Bank site in Australia here, and you run down and find the areas concerning carbon credits and is your business prepared for these aspects and this bank can advise you, and read through that, you'll say, hang on, this is really established, this is well put in place. So even before the legislation was dropped on us, this stuff was already there.
And you're, of course, highlighting the way in which the banking frameworks had already adapted to it and had pre-planned for it. But what I actually want to do now, though, is I want to move further into this question of how this becomes total tyranny. And as we've seen in the past, when periods of total tyranny have taken over, we saw the banks position themselves to take advantage of it. We saw during the Nazi regime, we saw major banks funding Hitler. We saw major industries profiting from the war machines, right? Of course, you need to these types of trends in society always have banking cartels behind them. But for now, I want to concentrate on the truly tyrannical aspects of what can be brought about by these carbon ideologies, anti-carbon ideologies. And I want to play to you a little clip here from Kuzu Media, which is an Australian-based media organization, which actually we've played a number of their clips on this show, and they present news stories in a format that's sort of visual with blue screen and well presented and well scripted information, usually of a very, very strong and highly well-researched nature. And this particular clip that they've got up on their site now is called Eco Tyranny. And I'll just kick that off for you, and I may pause it to have some discussion as we listen.
I'm Ruana Ruiz in Manila for Kuzu News and Commentary. Brian Sussman is a TV journalist and radio talk show host with KSFO San Francisco. He's a meteorologist and author of the blockbuster book Climate Gate. His new book is entitled Eco-Tyranny, in which he exposes the Marxist agenda behind global warming sheep-dipped as climate change when the former name was discredited in the aftermath of University East Anglia exposing global warming as a scam based on fraudulent science. Brian Sussman, welcome to Kuzu News and Commentary.
It's great to finally get to speak with you and your audience. Thanks for the opportunity.
The green agenda isn't just a war to control the environment. It's a war against God, isn't it?
It's true. The green agenda has never been about clean air and clean water. It's been something that's much deeper than that. It has to do with great societal change, the likes of which we've never seen before, but which has been imagined by many leftist thinkers over the years. And as I point out in Eco-Tyranny, I mean, this starts, and I know that there are a lot of people who say, oh my gosh, one of these guys with tinfoil on his head. No, folks, I've done the research on this, and I was shocked.
Brian, can you tell us about bat droppings being the source of the first environmental crisis in the 19th century?
Bat guano was the first perceived global environmental crisis. Friend of Karl Marx, who was just, he couldn't believe that these farmers were using bat guano and they were seeing more yields, greater yields, and people were living longer, they were living healthier, and because of that they were having more kids, and all of this was creating pollution. And this leftist thinker, Justus von Liebig was his name, absolutely thought it was crime.
Is it fair to say Marxism is a dogma that hates humanity?
Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels and their buddy von Liebig, who I just mentioned, they always hated humanity. In fact, you look at all of the disciples of Karl Marx, one of whom created the term ecosystem and ecology. These are people who described man as the insurgent son of nature. So it starts with Marx and Engels actually predicting that mankind's pollution because of capitalism would create global cooling that would usher in another ice age. It starts with that lie. Really, they were the first to, as you know, predict some kind of climate disaster because of mankind's pollution caused by capitalism. To today, they haven't let go of this hook on climate change, global cooling, global warming, because they know that at the end of the day, we're all more afraid of weather than anything else on the planet.
What do you believe is really behind the global warming climate change agenda?
This entire scam, whether it be global warming or the environmental crises that they say are looming before us, they're all built upon lies, and some of them, when you pull back the sheets, are pretty hilarious. But they won't give up on this, because at the end of the day, they're pining for something different. They want an anti-God society that is socialistic, redistributive, and also demeans human beings and lifts up the other species instead.
I'll just pause it there. Now, George is in studio with us today. You've had a lot of experience with both sides of politics, and I know many people who've listened to Truth News Radio are slightly on the left of the spectrum, and I would have considered to myself to be on the left of the spectrum. These days, I don't use left or right, because I think they're both equally tainted as constructs. Now, what's your take on this Brian Sussman's view about the climate change agenda being having its underpinnings in Marxism and being basically a cover for bringing in a redistribution, and a war against God is another question. I'm not quite sure whether I totally am on side with what he's saying there. I think he's stretching it a little. However, being not a deeply sort of religious man myself, maybe I don't have the same perspective on it. But can I just get your take on it?
All right. Certainly, irrespective of whether there's a linking to Marx or Malthus or any other connections there, we look at the situation in the current or the contemporary capsule, and we can see the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and elitist groups manipulating and managing those below them. And this is done economically. It's done through, unfortunately, through what I call herd media, and it's still a movement forward. It's the same logic of I can take from you, or I'm greater, or I'm an elitist, or the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. And that's the same thing that went through there. Whether Marx was philosophically correct, or whether he in turn was manipulated, as some seem to suggest, well, it doesn't really matter. It's still that's occurred. And currently, where the funds moving towards, the funds are currently moving towards banking cartels, and they're in turn bought political actors around the planet. We've seen it in America. We've seen it here in Australia. There are still one or two undercover here in Australia, but they've bought these characters. And certainly the banking logic of even supporting both sides of the equation, as we saw in some information released concerning Iran-Iraq in previous times, then certainly that in the Napoleonic Wars, of course, and in Russia, we've seen situations where banking cartels are supporting both sides. And as Rothschild had said a long time ago, if the best thing to do is to actually control the money itself. And if you didn't have money, if you didn't have currency, if you went to an ATM and nothing happened, your world would be certainly in a different state. So it's the actual items themselves, or the transfer of these credits, that allow you to eat and live and to survive. And if these are interrupted in any way, or if these are manipulated in any way, this is an inflation or deflation, or these units of exchange are adjusted in any way, then you're affected by that. With the climate thing, I just make one point. I tend to find a greater link with the Lima Agreement rather than going back to Marx. If you take the time to research what happened with the Lima Agreement, L-I-M-A, and how it was determined that if the rich have less, then the poor will have more, which is a really bad fallacy. The situation there of governments being able to manipulate manufacturing industry in some countries by...
talking about wealth redistribution. We're going to have to just pause you there again. Sorry,
right,
George,
that's fine.
Keep cutting you off. We are going to break, but you can resume your diatribe directly after
much.
The break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia.
Thank
Stay
you.
With us. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
No matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Oh, yeah, oh, my darling, stand by me. No matter who you are, no matter where you go, you gon' need somebody to stand by you. No matter how much money you got, all the friends you got, you gon' need somebody to stand by you.
When the night has come and the land is dark, and that moon is the only light we'll see.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It is great to be with you today. I'm here today with my guest, a rogue scholar, George Georges.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a... We have a variety of expert contribution on this show, but it's not often we get a true rogue scholar like yourself, George. can you please continue where we left off?
Right. Well, I don't link the... And it must be called Climategate because it's a sus as Watergate, if not more, certainly. Well, I don't link it to Marx or any individual line there. I tend to encapsulate it in the contemporary era, and I go to the Lima Agreement, and I can see a line through from there. I see banking cartels in one direction. I see a line through the Lima Agreement. I see influence into that from banking interests. And what they were doing there is our masters and controllers met and decided that they could help third world countries by running down manufacturing in the developed world, and therefore that manufacturing would automatically move to the third world. And of course, that just defies even the last threads of common sense. The agreements concerning the major countries, as particularly Australia was a great adherent of this, it affected other Western nations as well, was to control manufacturing by regulation and by fiscal policy or taxation. So industry is certainly, manufacturing has certainly been run down, but you don't decide to switch off and switch on manufacturing. There's the art of the manufacturing that doesn't happen by a government ticking a box on a piece of paper. It doesn't happen like that. So manufacturing moved, and countries as China and India picked up on this. And it wasn't just cheap labour. They actually introduced the best technologies as well. So the Western nations who ran down their manufacturing bases are not able to pick it up, and they can't pick it up in cost. Certainly the we saw this in past years. Japan went through a phase where you wouldn't buy anything made in Japan because it was awful product, it wouldn't last. Well, certainly they proved a difference, an ability there concerning motor vehicles, electronics and optics, cameras. Taiwan then went through that phase, and now China. But China is certainly, and India, of course, and China is certainly picking up its quality of manufactured goods. So government manipulating industry is not a good idea. And when they're taking a higher philosophical tone, and we can run this down, or we can do that, or we can switch on and off, then certainly the tail is wagging the dog, because really trading, economics, merchants existed before government.
Now, what I want to do, George, at this point is I just want to play a little more of this clip from this author,
yep,
who obviously is taking a deeper look into the socio-political ideology and perhaps we might even say psychology behind what he calls eco-tyranny. And I will get you your comment on it. I just want to play a little more.
Would you say more and more people are seeing the truth about the global warming scam, as you say it, and the changes it's wreaking on developed nations?
Yes, they are. And, of course, this is something that is very important, because in eco-tyranny, I make it very clear, if we don't wake up, we're going to be living in a land where there are going to be rolling power blackouts on a regular basis. We'll be starved for water. There will not be enough oil and gas for us to pursue happiness, as was the intent of our founders. And we won't have enough available land to accommodate the 100 million new people that will be in this country in the next 40 years.
What do you say about Al Gore?
Al Gore has always been one who has never been fond of America's capitalism, unless it applies to him. He's a complete socialist. He has been essentially an ambassador of the United Nations since the early 1990s, when he released his book Earth in the Balance. So this is a guy who has profited mightily off of the green agenda. I'm sure one of the reasons why it seems as if he's gone nuts in recent years is because cap and trade didn't pass. That would have allowed him the opportunity to make hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars.
From carbon trading.
Absolutely.
Obama appointed Van Jones as his green czar. Jones later resigned. You say he's radical eco-Marxist, is he not?
This Van Jones character, he's a very radical guy, and the Obama administration handpicked him. He's an admitted communist, as I note, in eco-tyranny. And on top of that, this is a guy, you know, he's an honest communist. And by the way, he has reviewed my book. He's an honest communist in that he will tell you what the Green Movement's all about. He will tell you it's not about solar panels. It's not about windmills. It's about changing the entire system. The system is the United States of America. He wants to take it from a representative republic, a constitutionally based republic, a land of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to something completely different that's more in keeping with Marx than anything Madison would have ever thought of.
Okay, so let me just pause it there. So the point here that we need to understand, all the analysis that you've presented there, George, I totally agree with. However, there's still this other, this is like an onion. You know, we peel it and we find more and more and more underneath. And as we go deeper into the core of the onion, we find something that lives within there that we didn't anticipate. When we simply looked at, oh, this bank is doing this and this bank is doing that and they're manipulating this and they're fiddling that, and it all just seems like, well, these are all just independent malfunctions or malfeasances. But within that, there is an ideology growing. Is it like a canker within the fruit? Well, I mean, what is it? But there appears to be a real ideology that's actually enabling from and benefiting from all this fiddling, and that ideology seems to be to bring in some kind of global new world order that it takes away from human rights, from the concepts that we have of the freedom of the individual, that throws that all away in the name of the greater good, and keeps us in a state of depressed economic and living standards, and also our rights would be diminished in a variety of ways because of this need for the greater good. What's your take on that?
It's still all to do with money, however you look at it. Ideology infers that there are people who know better than us, and experts are coming in, and the world can operate better in this way. Humans, there are too many people there. The manufacturing is in the wrong place. We're trying to do the right thing by helping those people work or find water or these other people. There's too much money in this country. It's all to do with work in these countries and how that's manipulated, how assets are manipulated, and it's to do with money. Money is at the top. Rich getting richer, poor getting poorer. It's to do with manipulation. However, that's if it's put in the form of socialism, if it's put in the form of an ideology, it's still to do with that. It's to do with control, elitist control. These people at the top end are not interested in whether the man down there has enough food for his children, or whether he's employed, or he's suffering from lack of health care. They're not really interested in that. They're packaged. They're little boxes. They're away from there. That's part of those numbers over there. They're part of these numbers here. It's nothing. They're not really interested. It's a manipulation of that. And to sit back and say this is a new ideology, the new world order, or however it's packaged, that's fine at that level. But beyond that, it's money. It's to do with control, influence, money.
It sounds like you're saying that the money issue leads to the ideology. You're actually saying that the ideology is created by these base impulses of those who are trying to profit from and exploit others?
Absolutely. I think even to an extent, Marx and Engels were exploited in those days. If you have a look at what actually happened there, and see little Marx sitting in the rotunda library at the British Museum and writing furiously along his little dissertation. It wasn't for the betterment of mankind. These people were funded through this. This had other influences. It's to do with money and control right from the beginning. It's not an issue. There's no ideology. There's no right for man. We're not protecting you. It's not an issue of whether it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong on ClimateGate, but at least we're heading in the right direction. We've got the right idea. And if industry is polluting badly, well, we're heading in that direction anyway and trying to cover that situation. So we're all good people. So you've got the manipulated people, the experts at a lower level, people in working in universities who might be have spent their lives in universities and might be otherwise unemployable being approached to research in this area or that area. That's fine, and that helps the equation. They're not involved. They're also the little peons there. They're being manipulated. We're all being manipulated. There's higher agendas, and we don't have control over those agendas. And if we run into the streets and start to complain, if we can get enough people with enough common sense to go charging up the street complaining about this, then the police will come out and say, no, you can't do that. We're trying to maintain law and order. So we petition our politicians and they throw their hands up and they say, well, I can't do anything about it because the party has gone in this direction.
I'll just get you to hold that thought. George, we are going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Thanks very much for your listening today. We'll be right back after this break.
She said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She said don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul.
Hi, welcome back. You're tuned to Truth News. It's great to be able to reach out and share the information that we glean. A lot of the stories we bring to you are from the mainstream. Some of them aren't. I mean, some of them are suppressed, but a lot of them are available. And it's simply there's a lack of exposure of the information. And the story I want to talk about next is actually another such case. This has been bubbling around in the news, but it's sort of been at a low level. And even though it's a really quite extreme and very, very important development here in Australian law and politics. I've got an article from news.com.au, that's the Murdoch-owned news.com website here in Sydney, Australia. ASIO wants to read your mail. Now, ASIO is the acronym for the Australian Securities Intelligence. Actually, I'll get Georges to tutor me on that. What does ASIO stand for?
Okay, ASIO is the Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, which was not known until recent years publicly, but it's the front line. Behind them, you've got the other secrets, which is ASIS, Australian Security Intelligence Service, ONA, Office of National Assessments, and DSD, the Defence Signals Directorate.
Thanks for that.
Now I'm really going to get shot for that.
Okay, yeah, now you've exposed very, very critical information, the top secret information.
Yeah.
Okay, there'll be a team coming through there. They'll kick the door down. They're actually allowed to kick the door down, by the way. That's part of what we're going to talk about today.
Well, yes.
They've been given carte blanche to kick doors down. And when they come into your home, they can do other things too. They can beat you up. It's actually okay now.
Oh,
it's good. It's for the greater good, George. So let me read you here this story from news.com.au. The government wants to be your Facebook friend and follow you on Twitter and read your emails and text messages and know which websites you visit. It then wants to file all that information for up to 2 years in case you are found to be a terrorist, a crime lord, or a pedophile. The government also wants your computer passwords and might even send you to jail if you refuse. Time to unfriend the government. These changes are under consideration by the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security, and if implemented, will substantially increase the powers the intelligence community – I love the way they use that word community. It makes it seem so soft and fuzzy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Will substantially increase the powers the intelligence community has to spy on Australians in the name of national security. Many of the proposed changes are of dubious value and a direct attack on the civil liberties of Australians. Oh, stop with this. Stop it with your whining. Increased powers to intercept phone calls, emails, and other communications are just the start of the government's assault on basic freedoms. Seems like we've heard all this before, doesn't it? It's just this endless whining about civil liberties. For example, the Attorney General may soon have the power to modify warrants after they have been issued, and the duration of search warrants may be doubled from 90 days to 6 months. One of the more disturbing changes is the proposed Authorised Intelligence Operations Scheme to provide ASIO officers and human sources with protection from criminal and civil liability for certain conduct in the course of authorized intelligence operations. So, when ASIO officers break the law, they are less likely to go to jail. The changes will clarify that ASIO officers can not only use reasonable force to kick down your door, but after they have kicked it down, they can also continue to use force as they are ferreting through your home, and they are completely absolved from any criminal or civil liabilities. Isn't that amazing? Now, are you going to whine about civil liberties, George?
Unfortunately, it's the human condition is something which is entrenched in my mind, and I keep fighting for rights and freedoms and things. I must be deluded in some way. Kicking doors in, I was actually the second person standing on the site after the Hilton bombing went off in the late 70s. And I was
The Hilton bombing, just for our audience.
Yeah, I was actually there at
Australia's
the time.
Only actual terrorist attack. It occurred in, 1976?
Yeah, it was in the mid-late 70s. I was actually there at the time.
Yeah.
And actually, there was another one that took place in the Westfield Towers in William Street a little after that, when there was a bomb blast in at the offices of the Israeli consulate in Sydney. So we've had a couple there. Also, linked or not linked, there were a couple of consular representatives killed in Australia. One was shot at Dover Heights, another one was mysteriously found dead at Darling Point. So we've had about four of those. Now, with ASIO and kicking in doors, subsequent to the very strange Hilton bombing, there was a door kicking in agenda at one of the hotels in Melbourne, and people tended to be assaulted, and then no one knew about it, and then apologies fell after that. At the CHOGM conference, which is the Commonwealth Heads of Government conference in Sydney at that time when the Hilton bombing took place, the funding towards the intelligence community was starting to wane off. They didn't seem to have the value that that they did. So this Hilton bombing, of course, brought a lot more funding into that area. And I have, being a sceptic as I am and suspicious in all matters, I feel as though terrorism has given a greater credence to the intelligence communities internationally that may have waned a little bit to the failings of the Eastern Bloc and communism going into the back door. There's a lot involved with the intelligence communities, but I don't want to cut you off here. I'm not sure where you're going, so I'll comment after you tell me where we should be going, Hereward.
No, I was enjoying that, actually.
All right, you want me to continue?
Well, let me just continue a little bit here with the story.
All right.
Now, there are more proposals underway. Another proposal is to give Australian Secret Intelligence Service, ASIS.
Yeah, that's the other one I mentioned.
Yeah. They're to be given the power to provide self-defense and weapons training to people who cooperate with ASIS. So whatever contractors or street hoodlums that they use in the course of their job will be given weapons training. That's, people who cooperate. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, that leaves the door really wide open, doesn't it?
Well, that's been done currently with through a protective service through the Australian Federal Police in Australia, where certain consular staff and other cooperative people are trained in weapons handling. It's basically small arms and personal defence in the training. I've read the training manuals. So that situation's already in place, but they're making it a little bit more open. And it's interesting that ASIS is coming out to the into the public knowledge now. ONA and DSD are still undercover, I think, but ASIS is coming forward there. And it's a little bit different structure in Australia to Britain. Has MI5, MI6 as a foreign, and CIA operates in the States as international, Mossad, Desian Bureau. Others operate domestically and in the foreign aspect. Australia is similar with ASIO, ASIS. DSD is more linked to military. ONA is supposed to be a joint intelligence committee, and they decide what should or shouldn't be reviewed and how it should be reviewed. Interesting story came out, I think, last week. Delisle, a Canadian operative, was outed by Keyes, as the Prime Minister of New Zealand, concerning the release of information, Australian intelligence information, to Russia. So that was outed, and I was there's a lot of this taking place. We had in Australia the famous Spycatcher case. There was a book called Spycatcher, written by Peter Wright. Peter Wright, cut me off, Herald, if I start waffling.
No, please continue.
Okay. Peter Wright was an MI6 operative in working in London in the investigation bureau. They pulled in Philby, was showing signs. I won't go into the details of it here. Philby was showing signs that something wasn't quite right with Philby. So he was hauled in up on Curzon Street and around towards Gloucester Square. There, there's an entrenchment of the British intelligence community in that area. So he was hauled into one of the buildings there and questioned, and he was cleared by Wright as not being a member of any counterintelligence group. And Macmillan, the Prime Minister at the time, was advised accordingly. Macmillan went out on a limb and cost him a little bit because of that. Subsequent to Philby being proven to be an agent, then Burgess from up old Bond Street area there, and McLean, who was positioned actually in an office called Intrepid. I don't know if people have heard of this one or not. Anyway, we're going live here. So Intrepid was a joint venture between MI6 and the CIA, and the office operated in Washington at that time. So McLean was very deeply positioned there. So those three were out. And then
we've got less than a minute in the next segment. So
all right.
I just quickly wrap that one up, because we need to move to another story.
All right. There's a lot involved with the intelligence community. It is really a whole different world, and it's one that people don't really understand, and what their perceptions are not in accord with what the realities are.
Absolutely.
Could be subject of another program.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. And so I'll just leave you to have a look at those that story about ASIO. There'll be some links on our show notes. The lack of accountability, the increase in powers is something very, very... It's continuous. It's been year after year we've seen it, and it's just non-stop. But we have to get out of the boiling frog scenario. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Stay with us.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Lift, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife into the
mix. Hi, welcome back. You tuned to Truth News, being brought to you today from the sunny city of Sydney, currently experiencing a very, very, very cold winter. Clearly, our carbon tax has worked far quicker and in far more stronger measure than had been expected. We've had probably the coldest winter that I can remember. Would you agree with that, George? I mean, for Sydney. I mean, of course, for people who live in colder climates, they'd say, oh, well, it's not that cold, you know. But this is Sydney. This is a temperate. This is like LA. It should be like LA.
Well, Bondi Beach is comparable to California. And people who have lived in both places would agree with that. And we're suddenly suffering from a lot of cold here in Sydney. This winter has been very cold, and more than I can remember too. And I'm 1 or 2 years older than you.
You've got those boyish looks, George.
Look, being kind. Yeah.
I need to cover in the time we've got left a very important topic, which is what's going on in Syria. But we haven't had a chance to address that. Now, for our listeners, there is actually a protest which is scheduled for this Sunday. The what is the date? Unfortunately, I can't believe it, but I don't have the date. I've actually got an address, but not the date. That's really, really
stupid. This is Sunday, Sydney time.
It is actually the 5th of – it will be the 5th of August. Now, the protest is organised by a group called Australians for Syria, and they've got a Facebook page. Unfortunately, their Facebook page is invitation only. I don't know why they've set it up that way. I can't even provide a link to it. I created a little – Facebook page of my own for it, which has had very little attention. But this will be a big protest. I mean, there will be thousands of people down at Town Hall on Sunday. So if you're in Sydney, try to get down there. I'll be down there with my camera. George, you'll be there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and these are people who basically are supporting the government of Syria. The President Bashar al-Assad is extremely well-loved by every – and I've met quite a few Syrians. I've had Syrians that I've worked with. I know people – who tell me that he is greatly loved. He has a huge support base in the country. And so the group here is demanding, you know, the end of Western intervention in Syria, and is actually questioning the fabrication and misinformation being spread by Western media. Now, some of that is now cracking. Some of the cracks in the propaganda facade are starting to open up. And we have some breaking news today, and I have an article here from Sky News. Syrian rebels accused of a public massacre. Graphic new footage has emerged that is claimed shows rebel soldiers in Syria lining up and shooting dead pro-government militia members. The two-minute video seems to show members of the Shah Bihar, a militia group aligned to President Bashar al-Assad's regime, being killed, and they appear to be unarmed. And this is also on the BBC. Human rights activists have condemned the public shooting in Syria of four apparent Assad loyalists by rebels in the battleground city of Aleppo. And I'm going to just try playing you a little of the clip here from the BBC. And it's just loading here as we speak. And I'm still waiting for it to load. Okay, there's a little warning here. Contains graphic images.
A video has been posted online that shows rebels in Aleppo killing several men that they accuse of being pro-Assad militiamen. This footage from Tuesday has been independently verified. A group of men who rebels say are members of a feared clan of Shabiha militia are held in what appears to be a schoolroom. Many of them are bloodied. Some of the men are led outside into the courtyard. Amid chaotic scenes, they are forced to sit down by a wall. These are the last pictures that we have of the men alive.
Okay, well, of course, this is nothing new. We know the rebels in Syria have been doing this all along. They've been massacring innocent people in their homes. But finally, some of this news is actually getting out. And, of course, this will be a huge blow to the PR of people like Hillary Clinton, who have been trying to build up the international outrage and, you know, what they call this wonderful international community to believe that we really have to go in there to save the Syrians from their terrible government. And I've got another story here which, again, is putting a dent in the US PR. This is actually from the Sun Herald. a US group can collect cash for Syrian rebels. The Obama administration has quietly cleared the way for US residents to buy weapons for the rebels who are fighting to topple Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, granting a Washington, D.C.-based advocacy group a license to collect money for arms. The license, which the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets issued last month, gives a non-profit Syrian support group the authority to take in money and pass it directly to armed insurgents. So we've got now a direct admission that that these so-called not-for-profit groups within America are funding these Syrian rebels. The Syrian rebels are engaging in massacres. The people are being treated with complete disregard. The citizens of that country are being treated with complete disregard by our government. We've had a ending of diplomatic relations with Syria from our Australian government for a couple of months now, complete cut off. We've got extremist Islamic groups moving into Syria who will engage in all kinds of oppressive practices, and we know there are many Christians in Syria, and they'll probably be forced to flee. I mean, the situation here with what is being done in Syria, I think if anyone's got their eyes open, are going to have to see that it is a complete facade. And I really do have my fingers crossed that this will be a turning point, and maybe the Anglo-American empire is going to fail in this operation. Do you think there's a chance that they could fail in this operation, or are they just going to pause, do you think, George, and just wait till the dust clears a little and then keep going? You know, whenever they have a propaganda failure or a PR failure, they just wait a little and then they go at it again a few months later.
Sadly, yeah, that's what happens. I still maintain what I've said throughout, which is Syria and Iran are part of Russia's interest in that region. If either of those two would fall, then certainly the West, fronted by America, would be paying a very large price to Russia quietly to accomplish that end. There is a linking which has been not quite brought to the front. I might do it at this stage. There are massive oil fields off the east coast of Africa running up into connecting up to Saudi Arabia, almost massive, massive oil fields. There is no peak oil, as we were told some number of years ago. There are untapped, very massive oceans to the east of Africa and into the coast. You've got the Bakken fields in America. You've got the Tupi fields off Brazil. You've got the fields off Mongolia. These are enormous oil fields. So why the running down of these areas? They're all oil-interested countries. The running down in those areas to do with control. It's to do with extension of the contemporary extension of the Cold War in a different aspect by positioning Turkey as the point, American point in that area towards Russia. So you see a lot of things happening. It's to do with positioning. It's to do with economics. It's to do with control of oil. There are arguments concerning the denomination of oil contracts in euros or other gold-backed assets rather than the US dollar. It's to do with a lot of things. Again, I go back to money, to influence, to control, to power. There were so many American dollars floating around the world. It's never been such a situation. It's essential that the American dollar be maintained as a world reserve currency for the denomination of all major international contracts, certainly with commodities. So it's to do with a lot of other aspects. It's money. Everything comes to money.
It says here in The Guardian that David Cameron is to meet with President Putin of Russia to try to increase the pressure on the Russians to take a tougher line on the crisis in Syria. And, of course, we've seen Russia is actually key to this. If Russia does not bend to some extent, it is going to be harder for the West to conquer Syria. You've said in the past that you think Russia has more or less exceeded in that, although the pendulum seems to be swinging one way and then the other way. I can never make up my mind. you know, I'm just going to have to watch and see what happens. I just can't guess it. You know, I can't pick it.
Well, we saw behind the scenes in the Cuban Missile Crisis in 61, I think it was. We were exposed to Russian missiles in Cuba. What we weren't told was that there was a trade-off with American missiles in Turkey. So that was part of that equation as well, but we got about half the story. So with the Iran-Syria situation here, we were receiving about half the story. As you're aware, Herod, I spoke to a particular gentleman in Moscow last night, and I have an appointment to speak to him again actually tomorrow night. And I'll be asking him some questions there. Might give us a little bit of closer information.
Sounds terrific. We're just about at the end of the show. I'd just like to, before we finish up here, I just want to read to you from an article that I posted on Truth News yesterday. The title is, Would You Like to Help TNRA Reach Out to a Wider Audience? Do you like TNRA? Would you like to help us make TNRA better, stronger, and more effective? If the answer is yes, read on. There are some areas we need help with and which I have listed, and these may require some basic technical skills. So I put this article together yesterday just to try and see if I could get some of our listeners interested in contributing to the site. And some of the areas we need help with would be YouTube uploads. It would be great if every show could be posted on our YouTube account, and documentation of the segments in the show would be great. Social networking, if you'd like to manage a Google Plus or get involved in the Facebook or Twitter accounts, and a producer for the show, someone who could help arrange interviews and provide suggestions about potential interview subjects, and including emailing and arranging contact times. So if there's anyone out there who has some of those skills, and also original content, would you like to write a regular article for TNRA? If you would like to write for us, we can set you up with a blog, which will have a dedicated URL. We are out of time. I will see you next week. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. See you next week.